Let's begin with prayer before we start here. Our Father, we bow before you this morning. We want to give you honor and praise with our lips, with our hearts this morning. Just open unto us your word, Lord, and reveal your truth to us, and we will give you praise and honor for our lives. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians 10, a few verses there, and then we'll read a few other places. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'd like to think this morning of this verse 5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Though sometimes it may seem like with all of the havoc that's going on around us and in our own lives that Satan is getting the upper hand. And I was thinking in the Old Testament how that all of the battles that you read about, are they there just for a good story? Certainly more than that. They certainly are there for our own good as well, that the battles we are fighting, spiritual battles, so we could look at them as a spiritual type of how we struggle against the enemy of our soul. And the same way that God wanted in the Old Testament the saints to trust him and let him fight their battles, not to rely on their own strength. He also wants to do that in our own lives. And I thought of, you know, Gideon, his 300 men, that is a good example of that, where, you know, Gideon wanted to bring a great force there to the fight, and God said that he only wanted 300 to do the battle. So then, thinking along that line, and then in Job, I've been reading in how that he is in himself a unique picture in the Old Testament. He had all these things happen to him, and we would sure have felt maybe the same thing Job did. That, you know, why me, God? If we look at everything that was taken away from him or whatever. And Job certainly asked that question many times, why me, God? But we also know the rest of the story, that Satan had set out to destroy Job, and that Satan was the enemy of Job's soul, in the same way he is our enemy. And he saw in Job a trust and allegiance to God that he wanted to destroy. He wanted to destroy Job's witness, and you can see that when his friends came around, his three great friends sat down to talk with him, that they certainly didn't help Job struggle. But Job struggled, and he came through victorious. And what is the most amazing thing with Job, I believe, is that it appears that he never put the blame of his misfortunes on other people or the circumstances that he was in. That's amazing, because I find that easy to do. Nor did he turn in bitterness toward God. And because of that, his testimony remained And we read, I think, probably the verse that stands out the most in Job is when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He didn't let go of that. And, you know, certainly there was a lot of battle going on in Job's mind of what was, you know, was God going to come through for him? So then I'd like to read in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. And we see the spiritual armor here that we are to put on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So verse 17 was what I wanted to look at. Every winning team has both offense and defense, and they do very well at it. So one aspect of defense I'd like to see here would be taking every thought captive, that what the verse we read earlier, unto the obedience of Christ. When those thoughts come through that we know would not be to the obedience of Christ, that's where the battle begins. And the defense, the offense, one aspect of that would be, as in verse 17, says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So to walk after the Spirit. And so, and I'd like to read my last passage here in Romans chapter 8. Often the enemy of our soul will come with condemning. He will condemn us and make us believe that what we did could not be forgiven, there's no way we can be right, that somehow our faith is not as strong as we think it is. And in that, he destroys our peace with God if we don't take that first, the defense and have that battle in our minds, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So then in Romans 8, verses 1 to 5, I wanted to read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So again, walking after the Spirit is our offense in this struggle of being more than conquerors. Turn to verse 31, and I'll read to the end of the chapter here yet. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. so again, when that condemnation comes, here it says that, you know, who can lay charge to God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.